Vă invit respectuos să deschidem Sfânta Scriptură la Numeri, capitolul 14. Am să citesc primele 10 versete pentru mesajul în limba engleză din această seară. So please open your Bibles with me at the book of Numbers, chapter 14, the first 10 verses. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, and our wives and the children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us select a leader and return to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us to this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are bread, their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us, do not fear them." And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all children of Israel. Amen. Solomon spune în cartea lui Proverbe la un moment dat că multe căi se pot părea plăcute omului, dar până la urmă toate duc la moarte. But there is one way, brothers and sisters, there is one way that brings us to life. There is one way that can bring us to heaven. There is one way that can bring us to eternity. And at some point, Jesus Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to Father but through me." So knowing what can save us, knowing what can bring us to heaven, knowing what can get us an eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ, is it still possible to get lost along the way? And the answer is yes, it's very possible to get lost along the way. And that's the title of my message tonight. Lost along the way. Pierdut pe cale. Pierdut pe cale. You know, when I was a little kid, if you would have asked one of the kids my age, "What do you want to be when you grow?" They were probably going to say, they would have said probably, "I want to be the next Haji," or "I want to be the next, Justin Timberlake or Bruce Lee." And they would watch their soccer games, their videos, their movies, their games, and they would want to be like them. Those would be their idols when I was little. And if you ask probably a kid today, "What do you want to be when you grow?" He's probably going to say, "I want to be the next Lionel Messi," or "I want to be the next Taylor Swift or Justin Bieber." Those are their role models. And they want to be like them. They follow them on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. They know what they eat. They know where they go. They know where they shop. They know how they act. And they want to be like them. But the tragic part is that no one wants to be like Jesus. No one wants to follow Jesus. Yes, Jesus might not have Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, but Jesus Christ, my Lord God, he left me a Bible that lived throughout thousands of years. To be able to say, "I want to be like Jesus, I want to follow Jesus. I want to act like him, I want to behave like him. I want to talk like him, I want to forgive like him, I want to cry like him. I want to smile like him. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to follow Jesus." You see, here in this passage in Numbers 14, there's a crucial moment in the history of the people of Israel. They're about to get into the promised land and they get drawn at the shore. You see, It's done. It's done with the plagues. It's done with being slaves in Egypt. It's done with a big question. What are we going to do in front of the Red Sea? It's done with being in wilderness. It's done with all this kind of stuff. They're about to get into the promised land. They're about to get into Canaan. And Moses sends 12 people, 12 spies there, and they all come back. And even though they all saw the same thing, they come back with two different reports. And 10 of them say, oh, there's no way we can accomplish this. There's no way we can conquer this land. Those people are giants. Look how these grapes look like. I mean, imagine how the people that eat these grapes are. And two of them, Joshua and Caleb, come and say, guys, the Bible said that they ripped off their clothes. They said, guys, we can do this. God is with us. There's a lot of wealth, and indeed all these people are giants, but have faith because God is with us. Do not fear them. But no, they want another leader. Moses is not good anymore. They want to go back to Egypt. Imagine for a second how the Egyptians would have welcomed them now. If they had to work hard before, imagine how they would have had to work right now. But that's how people are. When you have lobster and you have barbecue, I don't know, it's not good enough. It's too well done. It's not cooked right. You forget about people that have no food. But that's how we are so many times. Following Jesus partially, brothers and sisters, like Lot's wife. She looks back to Sodom. Why? Because her heart was there. That's how a lot of people are in church too. They are here in their bodies every Sunday, but in their spirit, they are somewhere else. And if you ask them, what was the sermon about last week? They have no ideas, because in their spirit, because in their soul, because in their mind, they're totally somewhere else. Following Jesus partially, like the disciples in John 6, the Bible said that at some point they stopped following Jesus. A lot of Christians are the same. If they're not important, if you don't give them importance in church, they're just going to go somewhere else. Like the Galatians, the Bible, and Paul talks nice about them, but then he changes his mind. Following Jesus partially, brothers and sisters, like the people that are in tribulation, or some of them, being with Jesus when you're in tribulation, and when the tribulation is gone, the reason to follow Jesus is gone as well. Cum spune psalmistul în Psalmul 78, versetul 34, când îi lovea de moarte, îl căutau, se întorceau și se îndreptau spre Dumnezeu. But Jesus says, if you remain in me, if we remain in him, we'll be saved. Apostolul Pavel în 1 Corinteni, capitolul 15, versetul 1, spune că această evanghelie, fraților, pe care v-am propovăduit-o, în care ați rămas și prin care sunteți mântuiți, dacă o împliniți, așa cum v-am propovăduit-o, dacă nu degeaba ați crezut. Matthew 24, the one that shall endure until the end, he shall be saved. And how is it possible? How is it possible 600,000 men about to conquer the promised land? With kids, with women, there are almost 2 million people. And from these 2 million people, only two are getting into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. The math is very simple, one for each 1 million. How is it possible, dear brothers and sisters, today in 2015, in a world where you can just open your TV, you open your radio, and there's sermons, there's Christian books, there's conferences, there's conventions, there's church everywhere. In 2015, when there's billions of Christians that say they're saved with a very strong and very deep statement, and the Bible tells me and tells you that there's going to be just a few out there in heaven. How is it possible to get lost along the way? Well, tonight we're going to touch, in the minutes that we have right now, we'll just touch two aspects, two reasons why. Of course, there's many of them. But first of all, brothers and sisters, we get lost along the way because of the inconsistency. Because of the inconsistency. A real story says that when this land was conquered of America, there was a boat with some people that came from Europe. And those people went thousands of miles on the ocean, not even knowing where they're going. And they got to conquer something great, something amazing. And when they got here, they stumbled in creating a 7-mile road to build a colony. People that went thousands of miles on the ocean, on Pacific for months, they stumble in making a 7-mile road. Why? Because of the lack of vision. Inconsistency, because of the pride. a lot of times we take pride in the gifts that God gives us. And if I'm preaching, it's about me. Look at me, how good of a preacher I am. If I'm singing, it's about me. Look how, what a beautiful voice I have. If I'm prophesizing, it's about me and everyone has to listen to me. But if I'm prophesizing, I'm prophesizing for God and I'm not superior than any of you. If I'm preaching, I'm preaching for God. If I'm singing, I'm singing for God. If I'm giving, I'm giving for God. So to God be the glory. Inconsistency because of the lack of sacrifice. Why would you care for a church that you never paid a penny in? Why would you care for a church that you never made yourself available for? Why would you care for a faith that you got it easy in a night? God spoke to you, it melted your heart, and you accepted Jesus Christ in your heart. But why would you care for a faith that you never had to suffer for? Why would you care for a faith that you never had to share a tear for? Why would you care for a faith that you never had to spend one day in jail for? Vorba românului, de ce ți-ar păsa de o credință pentru care n-ai luat măcar o înjurătură în viața ta? Why would you care for a faith like that? I remember right after the revolution, right in 1990, it was spring, I was 5 and a half. It was me, my mom, my dad, and my brother. He was 3, 4 years old at that time. And we went into a village in Sibiu, and we were opening a church there. And the Orthodox priest there, conducted by some really evil spirits, he got drunk a lot of men in the village, and they came with knives, with weapons, with axes, ready to kill us in the house that we were. And they actually got in the house. I was so scared. I remember I was just running up in the attic. I was trying to hide myself. I was shocked and I started praying. I was 5 years old. And that's nothing compared to what others had to suffer for God. Seeing their kids beheaded, given to lions, given to wild animals. But why would I suffer for a faith that I got it so easy? Inconsistency, yes. Because of the comfort. Because of the comfort. You see, a lot of times we probably ask ourselves, do I need to pray every day? God, do I need to pray every day? But I expect God to wake me up every day and to give me health every day. God, do I really need to read the Bible every day of my life? But if I like movies, I can watch 2-3 a day. If I like gossip, I can watch gossip the whole day. If I'm interested into politics, I can watch political shows every day. But when it's about reading the Bible, my flesh says, why? Comfort. Do you know that there's churches from where you guys, and even myself, we came from, that have a service that starts at 9 o'clock in the morning? And even here, there are churches that have a service that starts at 9 o'clock. We said 10. It's so hard to be here at 10, I know. Because when I have 20 suits or 20 pieces of clothes in my closet, and I don't know what am I going to wear today. Let me think, what did I wear last Sunday or the Sunday before? And I'm wasting a half an hour there, and I'm not a church in time. Do I really need to come in the night to a church if I come in the morning? It's hard to come in the night, so I know. I see it. We all see it. After we have a good barbecue, a good meal, after a good nap, after a good coffee. I heard some after a beer. It's hard to be in the house of the Lord. Inconsistency and lost along the way because of the comfort, dear brothers and sisters. Why? Because of the sin. You know what brought Solomon to death? The women, the sin. Being womanizer is a sin. Hating is a sin. Being selfish is a sin. Living in vain is a sin. And all these things, my dear brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter how spiritual you are or I am or we are, they are going to bring us to death. We have to follow Jesus all the time. In tribulations, in hard times, and in easy times too. Paul says that he left everything for our Lord. everything, and he considered them all garbage compared to what God has to offer him. Peter says at some point, "Master, for you we left everything." For so many of us, it was so easy. Leaving what? A cigarette, maybe a glass of wine, maybe a crave, maybe a pleasure. When others left family, they left careers, they left lives for God. Richard Rohrbrand was saying a story, something that happened when he was in prison, something that actually moved me. He said that he was in a room where a lot of people would get when they would be traumatized to the max. He was actually the only one that survived in that room. And he said that being on the bed on his right was a man of God, a Christian, someone that suffered for faith and for God just as much as he did. Now on the left side, he was a man, a guard, a man that used to beat them, and he was actually a man that used to beat his brother in Christ on the right. Călăul fratelui lui în Hristos din dreapta. And they were all there because that's how the communists were. You know, they would use you and whenever they wouldn't need you anymore, they would just throw you in prison. They would throw you in jail. And Richard Rohrbrand said this, "At some point I heard a voice. And the man to my left, the guard, the man that used to beat us, and especially my brother in Christ from the right, he said to him, 'Do you think you can forgive me? Do you think God can forgive me?' He said that after a couple minutes, he opened his eyes and he starts seeing his brother in Christ to the right that couldn't walk, crawling in his hands and going on the bed to his friend, to the guard, to the man that used to beat him. He was taking his hands and he was putting his hands on his hair and on his face. He started crying and he said, 'I forgive you.' And Jesus forgives you too." It was a Christmas night. They embraced each other. And in the morning, they both died. But they died with Jesus. And Richard Rohrbrand was saying, "You know what? It was worth 14 years of my life to suffer, to be tortured, to see something like that. You know why? Because in freedom, you don't see that. That's love, that's power, that's forgiveness, that is sacrifice, my brothers and sisters. Lost along the way because of the inconsistency. Second of all, lost along the way, brothers and sisters, because of the wrong priority. Brothers and sisters, Caleb had the right priority. Caleb had God as his priority. He was a man that didn't make compromise with the sin. He probably said, "You know what? I know what I saw. I'm not just going to go with the flow just because you guys say something and just because we're two, it's just me and Joshua, and you guys are 10. I'm not going to do just the same mistake that Aaron did it one time. I'm not just going to preach whatever you want me to preach. I'm not just going to be politically correct just because you want me to be politically correct. Because I know what kind of God I have. I know what I saw in Canaan. And I know that God will give us victory." He was a man that didn't make compromise with the sin. Because let me tell you something. In Canaan, we'll get only people that are following God 100%. In Canaan, you're not getting with 80%, with 90 or with 99. Moses, for one little mistake at Meribah, didn't see Canaan. He was a man that chose the right priority in life. Jesus is happiness. When God is your priority, Jesus is happiness. It's very hard to explain that to a generation today, for which happiness is probably based on how much money you have, how many assets you have, how many properties you have, how much do you travel. It's based on sexuality and on other things. It's very hard, brothers and sisters, to explain people that Jesus is happiness, the happiness that I have, that Jesus is in my life, the fact that I know I'm not just wasting my air for nothing on this earth. And this life is just a preparation for heaven, for what God has there for me and for you.
To know that Jesus is our happiness. The fact that I walk with Him every day of my life. That He gives me strength. He gives me power. He gives me love. He gives me peace. He gives me His Holy Spirit. And I love through Him because Jesus is happiness. Amen.
If it's your priority, when you live happy, you die happy. Pavel spune în 2 Timotei, capitolul 4, versetul 6. Sunt gata să fiu turnat ca o jertfă de băutură, știind că clipa plecării mele este aproape.
I'm ready to go. I lived happy, I'm dying happy. I'm ready to go being happy with my God.
Job says at some point, I know my Redeemer is alive.
You, my friends, can tell me whatever you want. You can bring me down. I lost my family. I lost my money. I lost my kids. Even my wife, she tells me to curse God. I lost everything. But let me tell you something. I was happy when I didn't have money. I was happy when I have money. And I'm happy again when I lost everything because my Redeemer is alive.
When you live happy, you die happy. Let me tell you something. About a month and a half ago, one of my aunts died. She lived in Canada. She was 75 years old. But, you know, these days, people live even more than 75. And she was my dad's oldest sister. And one thing that they had in common was the fact that they were born actually in the same month and day. It was just 14 years between them. And sometimes, in some occasions, they even spend or celebrate their birthdays together. And talking to my dad on Skype, you know, I could see he was so upset. You know, I never saw my dad a lot of times upset in my life, but this time he was really upset. He wouldn't even say anything. And all I was able to say was, she was ready to go. She was ready to go. You know why? Because this woman died on her knees praying. That's how I want to die. On my knees praying. Because if I live happy, I die happy.
You know why people are afraid of death so many times? Because they're not ready. If you're ready, you're not afraid of death. We're afraid of death because we're not ready.
Look at this parable in Luke 16. The rich man and beggar Lazarus. Probably when Lazarus died, no one even came to his funeral. They probably just dumped this man there, considered him a miserable man. What a miserable man. Come on, he was the dogs would lick his wounds. He would get fed with the leftovers from the rich man's feast. No one cared about Lazarus. But let me tell you something. Beggar Lazarus was a happy man. He might not have had money. He didn't have a lot of other things. But he had what really counts. Lazarus had God. And that's what matters. That's all that matters.
Of course, when the rich man died, probably a lot of priests came, a lot of people came. They're probably making amazing services. They were talking all nice about this man, but he wasn't happy. He wasn't happy because he didn't have God.
If you live happy, you die happy, and you're not afraid of death because God is your priority. God should be our priority, dear brothers and sisters. We got to give Him 100%. If He's our priority, then we got to give Him 100%. You know, when you got married or when you're going to get married, you tell your wife or your husband, I give you all my heart. Well, to me, all my heart means 100%, right?
What makes you think that Jesus would be fine with 90? What makes me think that Jesus would be fine with 95% when He gave me everything? He didn't give me just a gift, a simple gift. He didn't give me just an angel, a seraphim. No, He gave me His only begotten Son. He gave me Jesus Christ. He was so rich to me.
I cannot be cheap with Him. I got to give Him everything, 100%. He is my priority in life. Matthew 6:33, please put it on the screen if you have it. Matthew 6:33 says, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things will be given to you, added to you, right? Let's all take a moment. Please take a moment right now. Don't think about tomorrow. Don't think about tomorrow. Don't think about going to work. I have to go to work tonight. Don't think about that. Don't think about your mortgage. Don't think about your problems. Don't think about your kids. Don't think about anything. Just please, for a second, let's focus here on this verse. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the first part,
and all other things, all these other things shall be added, shall be given to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. You see, this verb seek means to crave, to pursue, to desire. Brothers and sisters, it seems like a lot of times we're shallow Christians. We say we seek God. We say we seek the fruits of spirit. We say we seek His holiness, but in reality, all we seek is just materialistic things. Seek God and everything else shall be given to you. Seek God. Don't think about tomorrow. You know, if you would have to die, and you know that you would know that it's just a few days and you're going to be gone, do you really think you would care for your money? Do you really think you would care for your job? Do you really think you would care for how the money market does that month or that day? Do you really think you would care for your brand new car, brand new truck, brand new Mercedes, or whatever you have that you just purchased, that it's washed or it's not washed, that it's not clean? Or all you think, it's about your family. You think about where you're going, and you think about your family, your friends, your brothers and sisters to be right there next to you. A man of this world will say, leave to the fullest, because you only live once. But a man of God would say, live wise, make it count, live for God. I want to encourage you tonight, seek God, seek His face, seek a relationship with Him, and He will open His arms and He will give you everything that you need. In conclusion, lost along the way, is it possible? Yes, it's possible. Why? Because of the inconsistency, because of the wrong priority, because of the sin, because of the world, because of the comfort, because of the lack of sacrifice, because of so many reasons. Can we get lost along the way? Yes. But let me tell you something tonight. It doesn't have to be you. It doesn't have to be me. It doesn't have to be us. If God spoke you in a way tonight, say this prayer with me. God, I don't want to get lost along the way. God, I don't know where I am. Maybe a lot of times I'm just going, I'm just moving forward, but I don't know where I am. Maybe God, it's time for me to take a moment and stop from my life, stop from my road, and say, God, I need to make a self-evaluation, a self-examination. God, see where I am. God, I don't want to be like Saul, because Saul was going far and he thought he's with you, but you are far away. Your anointment was far away. I don't want to be like Saul, God. I want to be like David. And I want to say tonight, seek me, my Lord. Seek my life. See if I'm on the right track. And if I'm not on the right track, then put me on the right path with you. So I can be happy. So I can enjoy you. So I can love you. So you can be happy having a faithful man, a faithful woman, a faithful son, a faithful daughter. So one day, I can be there in heaven with my brothers, with my sisters, with my church, with someone like Moses, with someone like Paul, with someone like David, and yes, why not, with someone like Lazarus. May God help us. Amen.